Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Brandon, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
And Jay Cross.
Joe, Matt, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's lovely to have you back, Jay. I'm never sure. I feel like my introductions are getting more enthusiastic and I may be like going over... You know, this is too far now. They're too enthusiastic. I maybe need to reel it back in a little bit.
I mean, I feel like I've always been open about the fact that the more enthusiastic you will be in the intro, the less enthusiastic I will be in the intro.
That is something you have.
I just think, you know, there needs to be balance to the force.
You're absolutely right.
And, you know, with old man Marky P not on the podcast anymore, someone's got to be the one who is, you know, the one that people don't like.
Well, and, yes.
You know, obviously that used to be you, and you had that, like, you know, heel change, and now you're the nice one. And I'm just here to play the role of the bad guy. That's all.
Well, I enjoy it.
For these stupid idiots that listen to this stupid podcast.
Yeah.
So you're in Springfield. I don't know.
Well, I enjoyed, dear listener, if you're a part of the Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group, I enjoyed that Jay managed to find a car with a number plate that said "Hate Joe" and took a picture of himself next to that. I did enjoy that. That was. I went out today looking for something that said "Hate Jay" or, you know, I don't know, anything like that. I was looking at number plates for hours. I barely got any work done. I couldn't find anything.
Nice productive day. No, honestly. So I was out for a walk with my girlfriend, and she was the one who saw it, and I was almost literally
giddy.
Roughly
giddy.
I was in the middle of Brighton, and I was laughing so loudly, and she was like, "What are you doing?" And I just about managed to compose myself enough to take that photo. I thought
amazing.
It was so funny. Absolutely perfect. Well, I don't really hate you, Joe. It's just professional dislike. Well, that's all.
Exactly. And on the subject of podcast hosts, if you're a Patreon subscriber, at the $5 or $10 tier, and you're heading over to our Patreon after this, we do have something very extra special with you know, original man himself, Mark Handman, joining us. So, you know, do head over and join us for some. I think it's a quiz. I don't know. I sort of asked him to do a quiz a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot about it. And then a couple of hours ago, he messaged me and was like, "Are we still doing a thing tonight?" So I assume it's a quiz. But
he's definitely forgotten.
Yeah.
And then we're actually seeing each other all together. I mean, without Matt, because, you know, we didn't invite him. But the three of us are going to be together in a pub this week. This week. Maybe we'll post some pictures
of us
having a nice, you know, me drinking a Guinness, you drinking a Ginsky, and Mark drinking some nice... tepid room temperature water.
Yes, that sounds a bit spicy for Mark, if you ask me. But we'll see. It's going to be lovely. But I want to get into the I was going to say the meat of it, but as a vegan, I want to say the seitan of it. Yeah, oh. I want to get into the tofu of this podcast, and because we've got a lot of cool things to talk about. First of all, actually, before we go any further, I want to welcome our new patrons. I haven't done it for ages. I keep forgetting, but welcome Neil Pike and Adrian Harper, who have both joined as patrons. So thank you very much. And if you do Couple want legends. To, if you do want to get involved, dear listener, head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds and all the information there on how to become a patron, a Patreon supporter, whatever you want to call it. This week, finally, after months and months of waiting, I received, well, it's for Matt, but you know, I still received it here, a Squire Classic Vibe Basics in Shell Pink. Oh,
what took so long? I'm sort of bored of my one now, to be honest. I've had it so long. It's just become a little bit, I don't know.
Well, yes.
Then I've been thinking about what the next weird, unplayable guitar I can get is going to be.
Yes. I don't have the connections that you have, Jay, but... Okay. But I was really happy with it. And what was really nice is because I've got the old 2013 vintage modified basics here that I've made a few adjustments to, it was really nice to kind of A-B them. I mean, sort of straight off of the bat, the bridge that the Classic Vibe comes with is literally the bridge that I have upgraded to on the Vint mod because, of course, you had the... I don't know what they call those bridges where they don't have a place for the string to sit, where it's got loads of them. It's like all... machined. Do you know what they're called? No.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean as opposed to there being a single groove?
Yeah, there's loads of grooves.
I don't know. I think I'm sure there is a name for it. I don't know.
A bad bridge, but you know that's what you used to get
it's vintage correct though, isn't it?
It's vintage correct. Yes, exactly. But yeah, it didn't work so well. You know, I think you get away with them on things like Jaguars and stuff like that, but on a bass six, something with such low tension strings, anyway. It was a bit tricky. So I upgraded that. The Classic Vibe literally came with that bridge. So that was one thing completely
solved. I think it's just a Mustang bridge, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Just a Mustang bridge. But it's, you know, that the Mustang bridge is a good bridge. It's a great idea. Yeah. It's simple. I like that, you know, to be honest, it works more like a Gibson bridge in that sense, you know, with just the two bits that you adjust on either side. I really like that simplicity. So so that was very good. That was very good off the bat. Came with light, pretty light string, like... I would say almost disappointingly light strings. Like I defy anyone to get a note out of the low E string with the strings it ships on. So I don't know why it ships with them, but that's an easy fix. That's a very easy fix. And of course,
Learn how to play guitar. That's your easy fix, mate.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to put silly strings on it, and I'm trying to drop it like a tone silly and things like string. That. Anyway, so
I look forward to playing it in the future. Then Joe, absolutely unplayable from Joe Branton.
Yeah, when Joe's found the only company in the world who make flat wound bass six strings in 56 to 300 gauge string or whatever.
Well, I did order some flat wound. Labella do flat wound bass six strings. They're £75 a pack, so I have bought a set of those to go on this bass six
on Matt's guitar.
Yeah,
great.
On Matt's guitar.
I can't wait to snip them straight off. not knowing the price, I'm just gonna
post them back to Joe.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks. But yeah, you know, sort of strings aside, everything was great. And I thought the thing that was most notable is my vintage mod's got these, like this, I think at the moment I've got, I can't remember the name of the string company. I've got a custom set of strings, of bass six strings on there that go like right up to a 105. So that...
Are they new tones?
New tones, yeah. I don't know why. It's slipped my mind. Thank you. Yes, it was the new tones. I had them make me a custom set of bass sixes. They're on my Vint Mod bass six at the moment. And yeah, they've got a little bit of wear, so they're not going to be as zingy as the out-the-box Classic Vibe. But... other than that, I haven't changed the pickups in the Vint mod, so I was interested to A-B them close together, and I was surprised to find that the Classic Vibe pickups were notably, and I really think this, because I expected them to be the same pickups, to be honest, but they were notably better. There was more, more clarity, more depth to the pickups, more of a difference between the three pickup settings. Like, I found with the Vint mod, what you're choosing between is, you know, because you've got the three switches for each independent pickup and you've got a bass cut. And I found with the Vint mod, what you're trying to do is not make it sound bad. That's the aim. You're just like, it doesn't matter what you're choosing. You're just trying to find the sound that's all right. Whereas on the classic vibe, I was like, all of these sounds are great and they all do something different. You know, the bridge pickup on its own with a bass cut makes for a great sort of tic-tacky baritone sound. You get, like, if you want to palm mute, maybe play with your thumb and just have the bass the bass cut off and just have the neck pickup. You get great sort of like the sort of tones that like John Lennon has on the you know, on the Let It Be record stuff, you know, those sort of like really traditional subby dubby bass tones. And if you use the neck and the bridge pickup together, you get this lovely almost jazz bass sort of humbucking thing, you know, by having the two single coils next to each other, this lovely almost slightly scooped tone, which I thought was lovely. It's kind of like an in-between setting on a Strat, that sort of thing. It has something a little bit vibey and funky about it. But yeah, sorry, that was a big monologue about the Bass 6 and its pickups. Really, really impressed. Really impressed. Like a very good, because I think they're about £400, a very good £400 spend, especially with the colour and the matching headstock, the vintage tint lacquer.
And, you know, first thing, put a Mastery bridge set on it. That costs more than the guitar. and away we go.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't even get the tremolo arm out of the box. I was like, I'm not going to use this.
Yeah,
Have you thought about incorporating it into a polymath at all? Do you think you could get away with it?
I'm not very good, Jay. I don't think I could be a polymath. Oh. To be honest, I only really like things in 4/4, and you know, flat wound strings are just not my bag. So, I think they probably want to keep Joe for a little bit
longer. Oh, okay, fair enough.
We do actually. We use the vintage modified on actually everything we've recorded since we've got it.
Oh, okay.
Only when we were recording. We've never found a place for it live, although maybe we will do now, certainly having a sax and the synths and organs taking up more space. It frees me up a little bit to maybe do something with the basics. Mm. What we traditionally do, and I think this is great, this applies for anyone who's, you know, thinking about getting a bass six. It's a fantastic way to double up guitar riffs. You know, I appreciate you can do that on a bass guitar, but it's a different sort of sound, like running it into a guitar amp, using the bass cut so it doesn't have so much low end. It's a great way of having, you know, sort of a baritone alongside your lead guitar. But, you know, whereas on a baritone, you're going to be transposing. Certainly if you're playing anything in E standard, you're going to be then transposing on a baritone, working out if you can do this riff in the same way, because it's just, all the guitar notes. It's great for that sort of thing. So how
are you doing that in, what are you playing it then when you record it? Because obviously Tim is the guitarist in your band is left-handed.
He is left-handed, but he plays right-handed guitars, as in he strings upside down. So it's the same for him.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Oh,
as in
okay.
A, as in oh, a right... Yeah, he just puts it on his lap okay. upside down. His,
gotcha,
his thinnest
gotcha,
string
gotcha, gotcha.
Is closest
yeah,
to the top. So, so yeah, so most of the time it is him doing it, like save me learning
Understood.
A part
right.
in the studio. But yeah, just really good. It's a great colour. I mean, the matching headstock thing is lovely. I hope they continue to do more things like this. And the classic vibe, for me, fixes all the issues that were there with the vintage modified. I just think it's a really good bass. Matt, I think you're going to love it. What other mods do you think you'd like to do with it, Matt?
To be honest, I'm just a bit jealous that I've seen loads of people with offset guitars and put mastery bridges on, and I really just want to know what they're like. but obviously, they, as you said, they've adjusted or changed some of the things from the very first one, the bridge being the main thing. So I don't know. I think the only thing I would prefer, perhaps, is a torque card on it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
But otherwise, I don't know. I think it'd be quite good. I'm just wondering what... I went to our friend's James's Home of Tone to see what sort of... obviously, he's an offset, big offset fan, and what they offer. And I wondered if there were things like McNelly replacement pickups, or if they've done anything for a Bass 6 specifically, but can't seem to see anything. So I don't know if anyone out there makes a Bass 6... Bass 6 set of pickups. Perhaps Sunbear would do something similar, but I don't know. If the pickups in there are good, you play it and you don't need to do anything. You don't need to do anything.
Here's the thing, Matt. We don't just have to have Bass 6 pickups in there. There's nothing to stop us rooting out the instrument and fitting something else. Don't forget, it's guitar pickup sized. So, you know, if you look at Jack Bruce's Bass 6 that he played in Cream, he actually had like a little Gretsch Filtertrons.
I was going to say, imagine three Filtertrons. That would look... Yeah. Awesome.
I think we should do something like that. Let's not replace them with another Bass 6 pickup, because to be honest, these pickups are fine. Like, they're perfectly good. I think the nuance of improvement would almost not be worth the money we'd spend on three new pickups. I think we should go for something different. Does it have to be a matched set? Maybe we go for something a bit chunkier in the neck, and maybe something a bit more aggressive in the bridge. You know, we can do anything.
Jay might know the answer to this question. Is it swimming pool route underneath, or is it routed for three single coils?
I think it's routed for three single coils. I can't imagine it would be a swimming pool route. Yeah. I haven't taken the plate off mine, but I'd be very surprised if it was anything other than three singles.
Yeah, me too. Would make sense. But it would be cool if underneath it was...
You know, I don't mind taking a hammer and a chisel to it. I think we can sort this out. We should just be creative with the pickups that we choose.
I do not want you with a chisel anywhere near anything that is partly or fully owned by myself.
That's reasonable. That's fair.
Yeah. It's not sensible. Do not put a chisel in Joe Branton's hands.
Yes, yeah. That's a mistake many make. Not twice. Not twice, however. speaking of things that you own or would like to own, that was an okay segue. I'm happy with that one. You saw one of your dream Stratocasters arrived on eBay recently.
Well, I say dream Strat. I mean, it's not exactly, some sort of like crazy sparkle finished shell pink, you know, custom shop. But my first proper guitar, I was torn at age 14 between an Ibanez Ergodyne, guitar or a Fender hot rodded American Fat Strat. I went for the Ibanez. My first proper guitar was a Fender hot rodded American Fat Strat or a Texas Fat Strat, which they only made between 2001 and 2003 in Shoreline Gold with a purloined plate. And I sold it when we worked at GAC to pay for the telly that I ultimately sold also my Esquire to buy. I sold it for something. I sold it, I think, the day I put it in the shop, which is always, again, another bad, it's just the worst sign. If you put it on display and someone buys it straight away, you know you've made a mistake. And I was thinking about this guitar the other day, and I think me and Amy were going through loads of old pictures of us to hang up around the venue that we're getting married at. And I saw a picture of me playing that guitar and I was like, that was a great guitar. There was nothing ever wrong with that guitar. I just, again, got blinded by something slightly more sparkly. And I really miss it. And I never, you don't really see them come up for sale.
What defines them? What is a hot rodded? It sounds like all the buzzwords in one thing. A hot rodded American Fat Strat Texas Special. That's like every word Fender have ever used to describe a high output guitar.
Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Music Nomad. Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 40 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in a collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad has developed the Keep It Simple setup. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools combined with step-by-step general guidelines anybody can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great. With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, loads of how-to videos, as well as complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare and kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple setup.
It has a Seymour Duncan Pearly Gates in the bridge, which is the Billy Gibbons pickup, and then it has 2 Texas Specials in the neck and the middle, and then obviously hot rodded because it had the humbucker rather than 3 singles. I think it was one of the first Strats to have rolled fingerboard edges as well, really early on, rolled fingerboard edges, jumbo frets, and had the, I don't know if this is still a thing on American standards or when they stopped doing them, but it had the block on the trem. It was the block saddles rather than the pressed saddles. Is that still a thing? Do they still, is it just blocks on the North American pros?
I think those, the blocky ones, I think disappeared with the elites. So on,
so
the,
now it's, right,
on
so.
The Ultra, which is kind of, you know, the modern style the of American successor. Guitar, I think that has got more kind of vintage looking ones. I actually can't remember.
Yeah, I was just trying to think off the top of my head. And then has the 2-point trem. You know, it was just a well-built, smooth guitar. Every now and then, just, you know, you get lost in a bit of an eBay hole. And the exact guitar from the exact year in the exact color with the same fingerboard has turned up for sale in a shop in Wolverhampton.
You could definitely put it on a credit card.
I could, but I also have to put a wedding on a credit card. that I think that is probably slightly more important than buying a guitar that I owned 10 years ago.
There are always more credit cards, Matt.
The Joe Branton School of Finance.
Yeah, totally. Matty, to answer your question, I'm not sure if they're exactly the same ones, but there are that kind of blocky bridge saddles on the American Ultra Strat and on the Player Plus.
Right.
Because they're kind of more synonymous with the modern type of playing, I guess, rather than the more classic,
right,
you know, vintage bridge styles, I guess.
Right. I'm just looking at pictures again, and this guitar has a very small but distinct mark on it, which I seem to remember. So this might even be the guitar that I actually once sold.
I really want it to be.
I'd have no idea because I have no written recollection of the serial number anywhere. Maybe I took a picture of it at some point. Yeah, they put ash body with a teal green metallic finish. I mean, that is not right. It is Shoreline Gold. It's just aged incredibly well. And the perloid's gone that sort of really weird, like, smoky
like
yellow.
Smoker's pearl. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just looking at it now going...
Buy it.
And then at the bottom of the description, it says, want it cheaper? Buy direct from our website.
Great.
There you go.
The classic eBay seller there. Yeah. One day.
One day, Matt. You'll get there. You'll get there. Well.
We'll see. But yeah, that was in some ways my dream guitar. It might hang around. Probably not everyone's cup of tea, but...
Probably not now you've told everyone how good it is.
Oh, well, I'm hoping that some generous listener will be like, oh, I felt sorry for Matt. I'm just going to have to buy that guitar for him. And then, it'll just turn up on my doorstep. I live in London. Just post it to Matt, Guitar Nerds,
Matt,
London.
High Street, London.
And, and it'll, you know, I'm the only Matt in London, you know. And, you know, it'll turn up at my door one day.
Wow.
We can only dream.
You can only dream. Now, speaking of eBay... Oh, more segues. Last week, when Jay wasn't on the podcast, but I asked you, Matt, and Mikey and Thorpey for some advice, because it's fast approaching one of my best friends, the guitarist in my band, Tim, he's going to be 40 in a couple of months. So we all thought, the band thought, we'll buy him a new amplifier. Because, you know, he plays like this. He plays a dual Katana rig at the moment, which is absolutely fantastic and so wonderful for the ease of him being able to record at home with the same sound as he's got live and a very similar sort of recording tone. It's great. They're great. They're absolutely brilliant. But, and sorry, listener, I appreciate it. I did all this last week. When we went into the studio, he recorded with an old 60s AC30 and... a Fender DeVille in as a stereo rig, and it was wonderful. It was just the best it ever sounded. And afterwards he's been like, maybe I need to get something Valve again, maybe I need a Vox AC30, something like that. And so I started looking around for options, and I'd certainly made my own shortlist of suggestions. And one of those was the discontinued Fender Bassbreaker 1830. But then when I asked you guys, you said, oh, that's probably not the right thing for Tim. Unfortunately, at that point in time, I'd already put a bid in, albeit the only bid, on a listing on eBay. And there were no other bids. And it finished yesterday. So I won a Fender Bassbreaker 1830 for like 200 quid. But...
Oh dear, Joe.
Yeah.
Only you could do something so foolish. No, I it does just briefly remind me of the time that when we sold the / aged and signed Les Paul in the shop that was £10,000, came in once and someone had bought it online. We're like, wow. And then later that afternoon, someone from the mail order team phoned up and went, yeah, the guy just phoned up. He was drunk. Didn't really want it. And just made a serious error. And we're like, ah. And wow.
That's amazing. I didn't provide. I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
I do remember that. And then I think the guy that I sold it to, I said, look, it's £10,000. He said, sort of, what sort of deal could you want? And he'd been playing an American SG standard at that point. And I looked at it and went, I tell you what, if you buy that, I'll give you the SG standard. So that was the deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway, Joe, it's another one of those classic drunken, oh yeah, I'm going to bid on that. And then
I thought it would go up. I was putting out feeling. I tend to do this thing where I'll read about something. In this case, you know, I'm reading about the amps and I'm like, yep, this is definitely the one. And then I'll go and put a bid on it. And then I'll read about a couple more and I'll be like, maybe it's not the right one. But, you know, I normally get outbid. But in this case, I didn't. So I don't know. I'm probably still going to buy Tim another amp, maybe. I don't know. Maybe this will sound great. I really like the idea of it. You know, it's just dead simple. Like there's no gain and, you know, there's no input output controls on there. You've just got volume and you've just got two channels. One's 30 watts, one's 18 watts. the 30 watt channel gives you three bands of EQ. The 18 watt gives you just a master tone. I love the simplicity of that. That's great.
They were really short lived. That particular one.
It's weird. The Bassbreaker series, I think, was always kind of when it first launched. When we were at GAC, it was the low wattage ones that we were excited about, like the 007 and the 15. I think those have really stood the test of time. And I think the 1830 maybe just sat in a slightly weird place because it was, you know, it was a big 2x12 that you could attenuate a bit, but. You know, that wasn't really the sort of amp that people... It was such a like a weird in-between era or like a weird in-between spec. You know, it was too big to be a bedroom amp, but then, you know, it didn't have some of the features that the, pedal players and live players would want. And, yeah, it's understandable why it didn't stick around for too long, I guess.
It's a very plain, simple amp from Fender. It's also not very Fendery in that they've gone for EL84 valves. It's a very Vox. It's a very British-sounding
Well, I think that was always the idea behind the Bassbreakers.
Of course,
and, you know, when that... The 007 in particular, that was the one that I was, when we worked at GAC, that was the one that I was really like, wow, this is a great amp, great idea. And the 15 was cool as well because it was an option for people who wanted something like a Blues Junior, but that had a bit more, you know, maybe a bit more girth to it, I guess.
A bit of that British chime.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's very stripped down, of course. You know, if you're going to make something, I guess, that's got that, that's going to have that more British sound, it then doesn't have reverb or tremolo, which, you know, you might get on a Vox. So it's a very stripped back. I think of it as a kind of quite a good pedal platform. A good sort of clean pedal platform that then relies on that drop of wattage to give you a drive channel, which is an extremely organic way to do it. So we'll see. I'm excited about getting it.
I mean, for £200, it's difficult to argue, I would say, at that point, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think you've done quite well.
Exactly. It's, you know, I wish it wasn't in Leighton Buzzard, but
pick up only. That's the other thing.
It is collection only in Leighton Buzzard, which is about three.
What are you going to do? Have you emailed the person yet?
I have. Yeah.
And what did you say?
It's actually fine. My dad has a classic car garage in Leighton Buzzard, so it
works. Yeah,
everything worked out. Everything has worked out. So yeah, we'll sort that.
So
out.
Your dad's going to run it over. Drop it out of the back of his car. Look, I got it home. It just didn't work.
Exactly.
No, you should get him to respray it whilst he's got it.
That's a great idea. That is a good idea. Well,
put wheels on it and an axe.
He's got a spray booth, didn't he?
He does have a spray booth. Yeah, he could do that. I used to get him to respray my guitars back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I had my Blue Sparkle OLP Music Man Stingray copy, I had him...
What was it? Four Dead Squirrels?
For Four Dead Squirrels. But then I got really into it was Blue Spark. It was perfect for that band, like, you know, punky. And then I discovered the Strokes and started wearing velvet blazers. And of course, like, a Blue Spark guitar is well too much for that. So I had it resprayed in like a sort of sage green, like a dirty mossy green thing. It was bad. It looked bad, but it's fine. You learn from your mistakes.
Can you spray my guitar a sort of dirty mossy brown, please? it's our most popular color, sir.
exactly. Oh well,
you live and learn.
You do live and learn.
Joe Branton never learns.
No, that's true.
Well, someday I might. Jay, you shared with us like yesterday. You sent us a little like a reverb link or an Instagram link, I think, to a very interesting guitar by a brand we'd never heard of, Lovelet.
Yeah, Lovelet Guitars posted this up. I saw it in I think it was on the 60 Cycle Hum forum, actually, which is
right.
It's a guitar podcast for people who unaware. I know I was surprised to hear that there was more than one as well, but they do exist. And I think it was in there that I saw someone post about it. And I thought, wow, that looks really cool. It's this V-shaped guitar. They call it their Junior V. And, you know, you can basically surmise from that description exactly what it is. It's kind of a, I think it's a shorter scale V-shaped guitar with a single P90 with the dog ears, volume tone. The plate is really nice, really tasteful kind of Art Deco style that matches really nicely with the kind of baby blue finish of the guitar. And I just thought it was really, really interesting, and I'd not seen anybody do anything like that before, really. So I followed through to the Instagram page and found that they've only got really a handful of followers, 120 followers by the time that I'm looking at it now. And yeah, really, really small company. And it appears as though it's Seafoam Green, apparently, according to the reverb listing. So it must be my phone that is showing up as more of a blue, but you know, that's often happens. It's a company based in Bratislava in Slovakia. And they've got it up for sale for £1,300, which I've got to say, seems really, really reasonable. Comes with a hard case, nitro finish. It's got Cloussens. It's 24.75 inch scale length. So you know, very familiar scale length. Mahogany body, rosewood board. I mean, it's got basically everything that you would want. And I don't know where it's made, but the fact that they appear to be a small company based out of Bratislava suggests to me that it is made in Bratislava. So really interesting. I thought this was really, really cool. This appears to be the only guitar that they've got up for sale on their Reverb page at the moment, and nothing else in the way of information about other guitars that they are selling at the moment. But yeah, I mean, the page goes back a couple of years. Actually, they have been posting guitars up since 2017. Looks like they originated as a service center and sort of moved on to building guitars more recently. So really, really interesting. I thought that guitar looked absolutely quality, and be keen to see what happens with them now. It's always great when you see, we talk about it a lot, how, you know, the boys over at 60 Cycle Harm and Blake and the Tone Mob, they're always getting all these cool boutique brands springing up in San Diego or Portland or the cool towns that these guys live in. And, you know, really, we're the ones who live in the cool town, obviously. I mean, except Matty. But, like, you know, and actually, you live in the arse end of nowhere. So not really you either, Joe. But I don't live in Brighton either. Let's be completely honest. So, you know, the place where we all pretend that we're from is really cool. But you just don't often see these kind of boutique builders springing up in Europe. So really great to see this company in Bratislava springing up, and I will certainly be keeping an eye on them. So if anybody wants to check them out, it's Lovelet Guitars, which is LOVALET_guitars. Very, very cool. Looking forward to
it. Very cool indeed. Yeah, watch this.
Oh, and I can see, actually, since I started talking about this, I now have one mutual follower with them, and that is, of course,
me.
Joey B.
Oh, unfortunate. Unfriend.
Well, it does. This guitar looks great. I tell you what is weird, the listing on Reverb got about 30 photos, well, probably not, about 20 photos on there, not one of the back of it. I want to see the neck. I want to see how you know what joint they'd gone for and everything, but you know, nonetheless, it's very, very cool. Watch this space, I guess, with Lovelet. I'm sure something new and exciting will come soon. I might reach out and be like, hey, what have you got happening next? Because it's very cool.
Yeah, you should. I thought it was a very, very cool looking guitar.
Indeed. Now, speaking of Instagram, that's three segues in a row. Speaking of Instagram, I was I put a little video up today when we're recording this podcast. So it went up yesterday for you, dear listener, or further in the past. I don't know why I've gone down this road. Okay, it's up on our Instagram. I've been messing around with it. So Matt sent me a Boss HM2W, the Wazzacraft version of the legendary heavy metal pedal. I've been messing around with it a lot, using it for bass, because I was finding that the EQ, the two bands of EQ you get, bass and treble, they're insanely versatile. Like, really, if you dime that low end, it is a completely legitimate bass drive pedal. You know, you're losing nothing. It was very good. I was having a great time with it, and I was thinking, because of the way the harmonics work with an HM2, you get all those sort of lovely sweeping sort of harmonic things with the HM2. I wondered how it would sound doing something soundscapey. So I coupled it with the Game Changer Plus pedal, which I essentially used as a like a swell pedal, just like a volume pedal. And then after it, I just put a JHS Pink Panther, which is now the Lucky Cat, the same thing. So just a simple digital delay, which I was just using for, you know, sort of a wash, basically. And then the HM2, bang in the middle. And I was just playing just, you know, a few simple chords and then swelling them in through the plus pedal into the HM2 out of the delay. Sounded absolutely fantastic, as like just a versatile, depthy, detailed sounding drive. I was like, this pedal is underrated. I know it's not underrated. Loads of people have lots of respect for it, but I think it's respected for, you know, the Swedish chainsaw thing. And I was like, this is so good. Everything sounded like a Vangelis synthesizer that I was doing with it. You know, this I appreciate is not maybe the way that a lot of guitarists will want to use it. I'm not giving you information on a way to use this pedal that everyone will be like, oh great, that's exactly what I needed, sort of Vangelis synth sounds from my guitar. But it's very good. A very good, yeah, detailed drive pedal. I loved it.
I have to say, Joe, I thought the sound that you were making was very impressive. And if anyone hasn't checked out the new Guitar Nerds Instagram, they definitely should, because you've made an incredible effort in really posting some quite fun soundy videos and some nice pictures, some really good pictures, especially of the things we talked about last week, but as well as the Bass 6. But yeah, I thought the sounds on that were really cool. And again, a really cool idea to kind of use something like the HM2 in a different way, which, you know, HM2 has less gain than, you know, a lot of the other Boss distortion pedals that are out there.
Really?
Now, yeah, I mean, if you've got to think, that pedal came out in 1984. You know, at that point, I think that was what, our fourth or fifth distortion pedal, and was at the time probably one of the most distorted pedals you could buy, unless you were buying like a fuzz. But a lot of the guitar sounds then were just cranked amps, which, you know, it was like a cranked Marshall, I guess, or a cranked Stack. You know, it's not as the kind of thick and tight gain that, you know, you got 7 years later with the MT2. The gain circuit on it is relatively low in some ways. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. I thought what would be really interesting to try is actually running both of those pedals in the effects loop of the plus pedal, so it only affected the kind of frozen sound. That might be a quite cool thing to try.
That's a good idea.
So with mine, for a little while I was running the Old Blood Noise Minim just into the trails, so just into the effects loop, so that just affects the sound of the frozen note, as it were. And that was quite good, because what you could do is turn the decay up to like max. And then, you know, obviously you've got like the reverse and things on that as well. So you could kind of almost get this. I know you can kind of set the plus pedal to infinite, but just, you know, a quick tap and then it runs through the reverb and does everything through the reverb, I thought was quite cool. So it's
very cool.
Yeah, it's really good. And I don't know if we spoke about it last week, Joe, but there's a new TC pedal that the infinite.
Yeah, we did get round to it in the end, did we? Yeah, the infinite. So this is I didn't read too much about it. It's just a whole pedal, right? It's just like the freeze.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm surprised that actually not many. I didn't see that many people talking about it online, surprisingly. But actually, well worth watching the video because it does a lot of stuff that I think is a real improvement on something like the Electronomix Freeze, or even you know, things like the Plus pedal. I'm just loading up some of the specs now because I remember it had some crazy stuff on it. So effectively an infinite sampler. But what's really bizarre is that you can actually have like inbuilt effects. You can have tone prints on it, which is bizarre. You've got an effects loop. I think you can, whether you want to stack notes, you can stack chords, similar to obviously what the Plus pedal does. But yeah, you can also, you've got different options for layering, integrated effects loops, reverb, and onboard modulation. And all of that can be tone printed and saved for control later on, as well as obviously having the effects loop on there as well. So
sorry Matty, the tone prints that you can select from there, are they tone prints of the sustainer, or are they tone prints of, like, you know, the Hall of Fame or the shaker that you can add in?
I think it's tone prints of that actual sustainer.
Of the sustainer.
The
so
you can do within the sustainer.
Right, okay. So it's not like effects that are... yeah, I guess that's what the effects loop is for, isn't it? Is that you can stick a reverb pedal in there or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it does have onboard reverb. And yeah, it does have some form of onboard modulation, but I don't know... I can't remember what those modulations are in there. I think there might be a vibrato. There might be like a chorus in there, maybe. But yeah, there are, but it's not the same as, yeah, the shaker or something like that as well.
Looks good though, doesn't it?
I think it looks great. I'm amazed I didn't
like
see more
sparkle
people.
Sparkle blue, sparkle turquoise.
Yeah, I'm just surprised I didn't see more people talk about it in some ways. I thought it's, you know, sort of went under the radar a little bit, but actually watching the demos and watching some of the stuff it can do, I was like, actually it's got some mighty cool stuff in it. It's worth going to have a watch of the video if you haven't already. But yeah, you can do things like you can change the fade in time, decay time, obviously, and then obviously you've got momentary or latching, which is quite cool. So if you want to do more of the Plus pedal type thing, and then being able to also, yeah, there's also an infinite mode, so you can sustain an indefinite number of layers which gradually morph together, so you can create these kind of huge sort of pads. Yeah, really, really cool pedal. $149.
Yeah, it seems reasonable, doesn't it?
It seems really cool. Reasonable. So definitely worth one checking out. Don't know when they're going to become available. TC seem to have this habit of sort of launching something, and because I've noticed with some of the Behringer synths and stuff, they launch something and then it's just out of stock for like a year. But definitely be cool to try one of those and see what sort of sounds you can get out of it.
Very cool. Yeah, it looks great. I didn't check this out at all before, but this looks surprisingly wicked. I'm going to watch the videos after this, but dear listener, check it out as well. It does look awesome. Now we should continue doing the news. As we sort of started, let's talk about something this, dear listener, if you're a patron, this is why the Patreon episodes had to go out a couple of hours later, because this is only released at 3 p.m. GMT on the Wednesday this comes out. So as we're talking about it, we're, you know, breaking embargo, if anyone else was listening who wasn't us, but they're not, so that's okay. But yes, the Jackson Audio The Optimist, that's what's launching. It's very exciting. I am extraordinarily excited about this. I think I have one on its way to me, and I am gonna play the crap out of it. I am looking forward to this. You're gonna love it too, listener. It's a Corey Wong signature pedal, so already great. So we've got Corey Wong, already good. You know, brilliant neural DSP plugin. Wonderful fella, great strat. He even has a good podcast. Everything about him's cool. at the moment, very in vogue. So Corey Wong's signature. We've got Jackson Audio. We know Jackson Audio are great. They've done that modular fuzz. They had the wonderful Blossom, preamp thing that we've had. Oh, there was that Marshall in a box that they did. Everything they do is good. The Bloom. Oh, I loved the Bloom. That was very good. Jackson Audio, fantastic, wonderful MIDI control, high class quality built pedals. So Jackson Audio, Corey Wong, and it is the Corey Wong signature MIDI controllable dual overdrive and EQ. Okay, so it's an overdrive, you're saying, but it's two independent overdrives. One of the overdrives is an updated take on the mythical Klon, and the other is a Timmy style drive. So we've got a Timmy and a Klon. This is amazing. Timmy and a Klon, Corey Wong, Jackson Audio, MIDI controllable. Each of the drives has got like a master tone and a gain and a volume control, but then they've also included a 3-band EQ, so you can completely shape the tone, and you can stack, you can run the drives in parallel, everything is wonderful about this pedal. I think it's going to be great.
I tell you what, I love Corey Wong's playing, and fair play to him because he has put his name to everything recently. And I don't blame him. You've got a lot of options.
I bought his oven mitts.
I did see that he's got some signature sounds for a PA system that's just come out. But this does look very, very cool. I mean, you know, we do love Jackson Audio stuff. We love what they do. You know, analog control, analog pedals with MIDI control is always quite cool. I like the fact that it's kind of the Klon. Lots of people have done the Klon type thing, but I definitely know that Corey Wong's probably using it for the cleaner side of things. But cool to see the Timmy style transparent drive. Definitely two kind of similar drives, I guess. Oh, maybe the Klon's more, you know, people call it transparent. It's kind of a magical word, isn't it? But I like the fact it's got this active Baxandall inspired 3-band EQ. So that's very cool. So you've got a boost and cut on the EQ. And having the MIDI control in there is quite cool. I wonder what they've done with the MIDI control, because on the other ones, it's different clipping, which I always thought was quite good, but it in some ways was just too many options. So whether they've kind of just said, oh, well, you can turn this one or on or off remotely. But I can definitely see this on my pedal board somewhere. I think this is quite a cool idea and looks fantastic. What a colour. I mean, that feels like that's the Corey Wong signature colour. I think it's basically the same colour as his Strat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a very powerful blue. Mm. But, you know, speaking of the colour, if this could get any better, they're actually releasing a limited run of these as well. And I'm sorry, Matt and Jay, the document I've sent you only lists the original one, but there is a limited run as well, which is also blue, but has more of a sort of graphic, some artwork on the front. Dear listener, you'll be able to check this out now as the pedal's released and everything, but they're super limited and they're the same price. So I think they're the, you know, that limited edition one's the one to get if you're thinking about investing in this pedal. But certainly a premium priced drive pedal. Not in comparison to, I guess, what Klons go for, but £350-ish is what we'll be seeing these on the market for. So, that's top. I mean, that's Jackson Audio pedals are expensive because they're so very good, but it's certainly a lot for a drive.
I think it's the same as all their other ones, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And, you know, I think as well, you know, you're getting a lot in there. I mean, that kind of feels, again, I got slated for saying this before, but it kind of, that's just the standard cost of many of these pedals now in some ways, isn't it? You know, 300, that Chase Bliss style level. It's just, yeah, I think if you're getting all of that and they're, you know, they're handmade in America, I think that's kind of what you should be expecting in some ways. And yeah, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into all of these. But yeah, I think it's definitely really cool. I like the fact that they've also said an EQ section focuses on frequencies that you want more of in single coils and less of in humbuckers. You can shape it towards what sort of guitar you're using. and using both together doesn't squeal like they're both mid-level drives. So you can kind of, they're mixed together quite nicely. Yeah, Joe, you're going to have to send this one to me with that base six with those flat wounds on, I think. You know, I have to give it a real play.
Yeah, that's definitely, the base six with flat wounds is the perfect coupling for this sort of pedal.
Yeah. No, I'm really keen to try this. I think this could be a real winner. It feels like a real gear of the year choice for me in terms of pedals. That seems really nice.
Yeah, I think it could be great. Could well be gear of the year. Now, continuing on the pedal front, also something that's come out this year, but almost with the opposite sort of idea, you know, fundamentals behind it. Death by Audio have released their Germanium filter, which they're calling a love letter to sticking a pencil in your speaker. And I love Death by Audio as a company. Like, if you want something that is a bit rough and ready, they are the brand for you. There's the opposite of pretentiousness, Death by Audio. They are just proper, aggressive, grungy, blah. You know, they say this is built on a console style drive circuit, a dash of obsolete germanium transistors, a super intense DBA style filter. It's claiming to deliver a sound heavy enough to crush on and sharp enough to slice a tomato. Just two controls, one that switches between high and heavy, a rotary between high and heavy, which is your EQ, I guess, it's, and one which is clean and dirty, so your fuzz. The video is incredible. It's hard to talk much about a germanium fuzz pedal with two controls. The video is incredible. You have to watch it, dear listener, because it's so brilliantly bad. It's like bad in the most fantastic way. The fella from Death by Audio, he's absolutely brilliant. He's got this wrecked Jaguar or Jazzmaster, maybe. I can't remember which one, but like with like pickups ripped out of it, and then it looks like it's been coloured in. You know, it's so fantastic. It's wrecked. And he plays it, he just goes crazy. So he's just missing stuff and like, oh, it's just, he's just making a racket. He's showing what that pedal can do to make a racket. There's no good playing here. He's just slamming the guitar. It's fantastic. It's for a super aggressive fuzz. What more could you want?
It looks amazing as well. I know people always give us stick for talking too much about what pedals look like, but the graphic design behind it is really, really cool. It looks really simple. I mean, it looks like something, this is going to sound really silly, but it looks like the pedal has been designed to be used in the video game Worms. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like you plant it and then you run away and then it will explode. That's the vibe that I'm getting from it. And it looks really aggressive and really simplistic design. I love the kind of ambiguous control descriptions, clean to dirty, heavy to high. I think that's really cool. You know, you can kind of just interpret them how you need to based off of the sound that you're getting from it. I think it's a really, really cool looking pedal.
Yeah, it's great. Super simple, like no nonsense. Yeah, I guess with pedals, almost with things like, you know, the Jackson Audio Optimist that we're just talking about, it's kind of, I guess it's easy to talk about and get excited about because there's so many features to it. It does so many things. It's got all this, you know, these subtle nuances, these great little, you know, slight adjustments on traditional designs. Everything's there, all the bells and whistles. Whereas this is a very beaten path, you know, a germanium fuzz. It's a very simple pedal. It's just done really well. I think it's going to be fantastic. The demo, if you can play as bad as the playing is in this demo and it still sound amazing, then this is a pedal that I need to own. But yeah, definitely worth checking out, dear listener. We are, in fact, we're coming up to the end of this week's podcast, everyone. There's so many more exciting things to talk about, which we're going to bench for next week now, because, well, we've got to go over to the Patreon, and I think I think there's going to be a quiz. I don't know. I haven't done any revision. I haven't done any revision
to
this one.
I haven't done any revising. I hope it's not difficult.
Well, me too. But yeah, only time will tell. And dear listener, do come and join us. Come over and join us on the Patreon and see us flail with our lack of awareness of what we are walking into. And you can, of course, become a Patreon supporter for as little as a dollar a month. At the dollar tier, you'll get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 gets you access to the Patreon special episodes and our entire back catalogue. $10 gets you the lot. Plus, I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. Find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers, bye. Gang.
Daniel Walker, Ben Harder, Drummin Brown, Holly Simpson, John Conaway, Eric Vaughan, Russell Healing, Paul Drew, Peter Blair, Ty Allen, Yogi the Guitarist, Kyle Harris, Joe Hart, Sean Hughes, Brian Hansen, Shane Molloy, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Eisler, Gavin Vanderlinden, Andy Manley, Robert Butterworth, Scott Anthony, Marcus Alkanowaki, Simon Milbourne, Stuart Robson, Christian Unhansen, Keith Adams, Eric File, Jack Tugmore, Joe Buttick, James Storr, Abe Matthews, Ken Sayers, Kytopia the Man, John Anglin, Ross Edwards, Stephen Borg, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Losek, Derek Rich, Blake Wyland, Rob Norvig, Jamie Short, Steve Merkel, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Robin Smith, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, and Moog Grammy.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.